Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. At last, the time had finally come. It was the Sunday before the Passover. And Jesus set out from Bethany, where he had been with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, for Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. And from there, he would enter triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem as her king, as the son of David, the king of the Jews. News must have spread quickly throughout that town that the disciples had found for him a donkey and a colt for him to ride upon, and that he was about to enter into the holy city. And so throngs of people surrounded him. They came behind him from Bethany. They came to him from Jerusalem. And together, the crowds hailed Jesus as their king, in word and in deed. They spread their garments on the road before him, following the example of the disciples who spread their cloaks on the donkey and its colt. They also took branches from palm trees and others and laid those on the roads as they walked through the roads and communities and gardens. They made for Jesus a sort of royal carpet to enter the city. And the people hailed him with shouts of Hosanna, which means save us now. As recorded in the four Gospels, the people praised him by crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. The people took the Psalms, Psalm 118 particularly, and they applied it to Jesus in their praise. Not all welcomed Jesus at his coming, however. Luke and John both record that the Pharisees grumbled about this triumphal entry, not just to one another, but also complaining to Jesus himself, telling him to rebuke the disciples and to silence them. And Matthew, just after our gospel lesson ends this morning, tells us that there were still many others in the city who did not know who this Jesus was at all. They didn't regard him either as a Messiah or as a blasphemer. When they saw and they heard the commotion that accompanied his entrance, they asked, "Who is this?" Well, it might seem strange that a whole city could be stirred up by the coming of one man and yet not know who that man was. We do find the same thing among us today. As you know, since Thanksgiving and likely beforehand, the Christmas festivities have begun. They have taken center stage. We hear Christmas carols playing overhead at the stores we go to. We find lights and garlands adorning the buildings of our community. Gifts are being purchased and wrapped to be given out to our loved ones. Plans are underway for joyful celebrations of food and drink and fun to be shared with family and friends. But how many people around us have no idea why this season exists and why it is filled with joy and gladness? How many around us are asking, who is this season for? Whose birth are we celebrating? Who is that holy infant so tender and mild? Who is that newborn king? Who is that little Lord Jesus? Who is this? Today, the first Sunday in Advent and the first Sunday of the church year, we do well to consider how the Bible and how we Christians should answer that very question. Who is this? Who has come? Matthew tells us that the answer given to that question by the crowds long ago was, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And so it was said of Jesus throughout his ministry that he was one of the prophets. That's not wrong. That is a true confession of his identity. He is indeed a prophet. He went about doing a prophet's work, by preaching, by teaching, by working miracles, as we've heard throughout the preceding season in the church year. He instructed all who came to hear him with the pure word of God. He rebuked and corrected the false teachings of the Pharisees and scribes. He proclaimed the coming gospel, the gospel of the coming kingdom of heaven to the poor and lowly. He called to himself apostles and trained them specifically to go and preach in his name. He worked signs and wonders among the people, healing the sick and raising the dead, as we heard a few weeks ago with the woman suffering from the flow of blood in Jairus' daughter. He provided in abundance for multitudes with a few loaves and fish, in one instance 5,000, in another 4,000. And he did many, many other miracles besides. Furthermore, Jesus is in fact a Galilean, raised in Nazareth by his mother Mary and her husband Joseph, the carpenter, along with his sisters and brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. As we know very well, he was born in Bethlehem. For a time he lived in Egypt. Jesus the prophet was flesh and blood man. This is all true. But if the man John the Baptist was called more than a prophet by Jesus, how much more so is that true of Jesus himself? He is a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, yes, but he is far more than a prophet. He is far more than a man. He is, according to the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet Zechariah, the King of Zion. Not only did Zechariah foretell this, however, but Jeremiah also, as we heard this morning. The Lord promised that he would raise up for David a righteous branch who would reign as king. And that promise was fulfilled in Jesus. He is the perfect divine king, true man and true God, who executes justice and righteousness without fail in all matters. He, the only Lord, rules and reigns, not just over Israel, but from sea, to the ends of the earth, all authority in heaven and on earth having been given to him. And this perfect divine authority of Christ is seen in our gospel today at the beginning. He shows that he is both all-knowing and all-powerful. He knew exactly where the donkey and its colts could be found, and he sent his disciples to acquire them both. He also justly demanded their use as the Lord of the universe, to whom all creatures belong. Every beast of the forest is his, the cattle on a thousand hills. He most certainly had claim to these two beasts as well. His need wasn't physical. After all, he'd traveled on foot the whole pilgrimage to Jerusalem's outskirts. But it was necessary for him to fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament, of Zechariah, that he, Zion's rightful king, would come to Jerusalem mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden, much like his forefather Solomon had done centuries before. But Zechariah also foretold in the Spirit that Jesus would come in humility. For the kingdom Christ came to establish is not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly one. And he reigns over it as the Prince of Peace, gentle and lowly in heart, offering rest to all those who labor and are heavy laden. As God, he is indeed all-knowing, but for that, it means he knows all our sins and iniquities. He knows all our sorrows and woes, all our worries and wants, all our dangers and diseases and afflictions. And as God, yes, he is truly all-powerful. But again, for us, that means that he can help when no one else can. It means that he has come to forgive our sins, to drown them in the depths of the sea, to remove them from us as far as the east is from the west. It means that he has come to fill our needs, both spiritual and temporal, to hear our prayers and our sighs, to wipe away our tears, to turn aside all danger and harm, to protect us from our enemies, to turn evil to good, and finally to free us from death. Christ has come to claim us, to claim all poor, miserable sinners, to be citizens of his kingdom from every nation by his word and sacrament. Therefore, whoever believes in him lives under his gracious reign. Christ the King knows those who are his, for by his Spirit he has renewed, sanctified, cleansed, enlightened, and guides them. Jesus Christ is King, but not just a King. He is, by the testimony of Zechariah, your King. Jesus is the righteous branch. But again, by the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah, he is not just a branch. He is not just righteous. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He comes that we might claim him through faith. For centuries, the prophets, again like Jeremiah and Zechariah, foretold the coming of this Christ, the promised one. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came, not under compulsion, but gladly, not because of our own merits, but by grace alone. He came not momentarily, not in a brief visit to his creation, but rather to make his home and to dwell with us, dwell even in our hearts through faith, as our God and we his people. Though he has ascended into heaven, Christ remains present in his kingdom, in the church, testifying in his word and spirit, abiding with us always, even to the very end of the age. Christ has come as your righteousness, as your King. He has come not like the kings of this world who come to take for themselves. The prophet Samuel warned of these kind of kings, as we heard in Bible study last week. These kinds of kings take people's sons and daughters to serve them. They claim for themselves the best of the fields and the vineyards and the orchards. They claim a tenth of all that is owned and produced. But Christ came not as this kind of king. He came not to take, but to give. Though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that we by his poverty might become rich. Yes, Jesus has come, righteous and having salvation is he, not for his own sake, but for ours. He came to help the poor, sick, and distressed, to seek and to save the lost. He has come for your benefit, for your peace, for the salvation and joy of your heart. He has come to take our sin upon himself and to offer himself as a ransom to the Father for the sins of the whole world. He has come to give us in return his righteousness by grace and grace alone, that we might stand before the throne of God justified. Yes, he has come to acquire and then bestow righteousness and eternal life for all people. And since we have received from him righteousness, we truly have peace with God. And finally, in his good time, he will come again to bring us to the heavenly promised land, where we will dwell in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Now, while the world around us has begun its Christmas festivities and is really about halfway through them already, we in the church begin a different season today, a season of preparation, of repentance, that we might rightfully and joyfully celebrate Christmas when it comes. This is, of course, the season of Advent. As you've no doubt heard and learned in the preceding seasons of Advent that have come in the past, that word Advent means he comes. And so in this first season of the church year, we remember and rejoice in Christ's threefold coming. First, long ago, he came in humility. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Second, now he comes to us in grace through his word and sacrament. And for this we primarily pray in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. And third and finally, he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. Concerning this final coming, we are exhorted, as we will hear again next Sunday, to straighten up and raise our heads when we see these things taking place, for that means that our redemption is drawing near. Christ came Christ comes. Christ will come. This is the season of Advent and its message. And so again, on this first Sunday in Advent, we are faced with the question, who is this Christ who comes? And the answer is this. He is indeed a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, but more than a prophet and more than a man. He is indeed a king, but not just a king. He is our king. He is righteous, but not just righteous. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Jesus Christ, true God, true man, our Savior. And in this season, we do well not only to know him as such, but to confess him as such. After all, what was prophesied by Zechariah? Not just that Zion's king was coming, but that it was to be said that he comes. Say to the daughter of Zion, he comes. And therefore, let us Christians say to one, to all, in this season and all year long, Christ has come. The Lord has come. Our Savior has come. He comes now. He desires to meet you here in his coming. No matter who you are, no matter how hopeless you may think things are, Jesus is the one who comes, even now, for you. Whether you are a zealous and faithful Christian and have been for years, whether you are a Christian who is struggling, whose faith seems to be growing weak and dim, or if you are someone who has never known the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, hear again the proclamation. Your King comes. Rejoice. He comes to you. He is the Lord, your righteousness. Therefore, repent of your sins. Believe in him. And receive from him all the gifts he wills to bestow. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Jesus comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We continue.